This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey. This is the final series, and we are in episode number 4. I know, didn't you already feel it? You already felt it this week?
All right. Turned to you at the end of it and said, they are wrapping things up. I can feel the wrap-up happening.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by Tamara Burke.
Hey, everybody.
And Courtney Stewart.
What's up?
And this week we had a barrel backfire. We had the endless saga of the hospital concerns.
endless saga.
Everlasting. And, of course, where I want to start off is the return of Gwen.
Yes!
She looks great.
Oh, yeah. She's no longer Gwen the housemaid. She's now Gwen Harding.
Ms. Harding. Mrs. Harding.
Exactly. So, did you recognize her? I mean, we knew
she was coming.
Yeah, I know, but I would have been like one of the family.
Like Lady Mary?
Yeah, I would not have
remembered. You look familiar, but yeah, whatever. I wouldn't have even gone that far.
I was like, who? No, I don't recognize her at all.
By the way, Courtney and I do have the last little dregs of our bottle of Downton Abbey that we're drinking Bordeaux today. Okay. Not very much. In fact, mine's almost gone.
So they're already lit.
Make it more fun.
So, yeah. All right. So she comes, and that was a pleasant surprise. I think it was great. Yes. I loved how she was kind of being coy about the whole thing.
Well, it's an incredibly awkward situation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. What are you supposed to say? Hey, you remember me? I was your maid.
Yeah, I used to clean up after you.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, the service people have different. There it goes already. They have a different perspective. They have, you know, certain personal knowledge of Lady Cora's underpants and such.
Whoa. Yeah, it's the truth.
Yeah. And then that can be an awkward situation for everybody, not just for her, for everyone going, oh, and here's the maid who used to, and now she's sitting at dinner table. Right?
I agree. Because what was she supposed to say? When was she supposed to say it? And even when Mary calls her out later, you had ample opportunity. When we were saying hello?
Yeah,
remember,
exactly.
I was your maid? Like, what do you...
When's the proper time to do that? Yeah, how do you do it without embarrassing everybody? Because it would have embarrassed everybody.
Right.
Which I would have loved to have said.
you don't remember me? Remember my face? Oh, yeah. I used to work for you.
Let me put this little...
Exactly.
Hat
cap
thing.
On.
Yeah, exactly. And
then you'll
notice
me.
At the back of my head. Maybe you recognize that.
Oh, my God. You're so right. That's good, John.
But I liked how Tom recognized her, and they had their little moment.
Well, they were co-workers.
Of course, I know.
But of course he's going to recognize her.
Okay, but let's talk Tom real quick, because I know we'll get back to Gwen. But wasn't it great to have him back? And I liked the little moments. And even, Cora says to Lord Grantham, isn't it great to have him back? Yeah, and I'm going, that's the audience going, it is great to have him back.
He's good. We never wanted you to leave to begin with.
Exactly. Certain people were, swearing off the series when they heard Tom was leaving.
And I said, I'll get back to Gwen. But still, on the the Tom thing, because just the little scene they had, he and Mary, when they were just talking about, you know, after they had the breakfast and they were alone. Mm-hmm. And so what are we going to do? Co-agent, you know, because I'm happy to do. Just their little going back and forth. You're my brother.
She's just your brother.
It was great.
Wasn't that sweet?
Yeah.
I loved that moment because, you know, there was a little bit, I think part of what that was Julian Fellowes establishing we are siblings at this point. Because, you know, there was a little talk even between us about is there going to be a romance there? And people were saying, even in the last week, people, or, you know, just before last episode, people were saying, you know, maybe they will marry just as a matter of convenience.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so I think this was great to just kind of establish really what and who they are to each other.
Yeah, and I've never seen them being married in any way, shape, or form because they just haven't.
There were at least two episodes where I thought there could be some possibility. And even the look she gave him when he came back last episode was kind of a little bit different. But obviously he's saying, you're my brother.
Right.
And that's what we're going to keep it.
Yeah.
But I appreciated that she also commented on him, like, choosing something that he wants to do and don't feel like he has to make a choice because of the family.
As long as it's not Miss Bunting.
As long as it's not Miss Bunting. Exactly. Oh, God, that was great.
We don't like her either.
But so yeah, him saying, I need to do something off the estate. I need to, like, I don't think we really expected America to change him that much.
But no, but it did. He's not going to be a traditionalist, but he is more of a capitalist in the sense of American capitalism, where a guy can achieve
pull himself
his,
up
exactly,
by his own
in
bootstraps.
One generation rather than.
Right.
You know.
And he wants to work on cars.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and right, interesting, which we'll come to later. But. You know, I thought it was cool or interesting how Mary was kind of saying, yeah, that really isn't possible here, is it? And and kind of seeing his point because she's so used to being sure of herself and having her strong opinion and not really being interested in what anybody else has to say that I thought that was an interesting discussion to kind of open it up and for her to be open to the possibility or whatever.
I liked seeing them together. I'm looking forward to more of that because it's, you know, she... you know, she's either got a suitor or she's got somebody, you know, there's never really a... What's the word? A fraternal relationship that she has.
A platonic, honest relationship.
Yeah, and I like seeing that. Yeah. It's a good side to see.
Also because it enforces the change from her being a dilettante to being, you know, a woman forging her own way.
Yes.
Which is a nice thing to see. And it's the way the world is going right now.
All right, so now I can get back to Gwen.
Go back to Gwen.
I wanted to start.
She's enjoying her lunch.
She's enjoying that. And, you know, the whole reason, I wasn't really paying attention to the reason why she's there. Obviously, there's something to do with the school.
Right, so she's a trustee to the women's school.
Yeah.
And she
emphasized
education and how much further she could have gone had she been educated, which was like played over and over and over again in this episode.
I know, Isabel is all over it too.
Stab it in, PSA. Women need an education. But it was pleasant.
Funny, Courtney.
But how about the dinner? Or was it dinner?
Lunch.
Was it
lunch?
Lunch. Beg your pardon. Thank you, luncheon. And then, of course, Thomas has just got to,
you know,
can't stand it.
Because he's really, like, feeling like the big man on campus, being butler, interim butler.
Do you think he would have said anything had he not? I mean, he would have been in the room, probably, because he would have been there helping to serve. But I don't think he would have said, because he wouldn't have been.
Maybe right up there serving that way. I don't know.
Maybe he wouldn't have. But.
All I know is I finally was having a little more sympathy for him when you had the theory last week about the suicide. And today I was just like, just go kill yourself because you're evil. Like, you're rude. Why? Why was it? She hadn't done anything to you. Just jealousy and haterade. And it's just unfortunate.
It's true.
Just go. Because every time somebody tries to, like, be nice to you and bring you in and love you. And he won't let them.
You just won't.
He just put the wall up. I have no more sympathy for you. I'm done.
She handled it very well.
She did.
She handled it graceful.
Quite deft.
Yeah, I can tell them. You know what I'm saying? Because you always got to control the spin, right?
Yeah,
gotta get in front of the story.
Yes. So, but she did it so lovely, I almost cried.
We just talked about it. Was it last week or the week two weeks before? We were talking about just the idea of Sibby and the story, and they're just mentioning her. And I'm saying, why am I getting so emotional? Yeah.
Just on a side note, I made the mistake of watching the season 6 preview trailer again this week.
Yeah.
And it's only 1 minute long, okay? Mm. And it's the official trailer that's playing on TV in Europe. And, or in England. And I've seen almost every single shot up to this point. There are a handful of little moments that we haven't seen yet, but like the one with Carson pushing his nameplate on his, and the music in the background. And I was like, Go watch it again when you get a chance. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. It's probably on your TVs.
But yeah. That's such a lasting experience. Mm-hmm. I was surprised.
Civil.
That was series, third season, right?
Was it third?
Second or third. And I was anticipating, the volume of tears that were coming out of me when that episode, when the Sybil death episode came up, I am anticipating that for the finale. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very kind. But it was great to see, and it was the way it was remembering her, the looks on everybody's faces, it was recalling all that, and then the way it affected Mary after that. I love that Gwen brought all that back because. I didn't really think about, when I knew Gwen was coming back, I didn't get didn't put forward that the connection would be there and how that might,
affect.
Just didn't put that together.
I didn't have the depths of it for sure. Gwen's coming back. She helped her, but listening to every little detail and how she and Dad is putting together, why she wouldn't let me in the library and all of this.
And I think it's partly laying the groundwork for whatever the next baby birth tragedy is going to be, if you know what I'm saying.
Something's coming.
We'll talk about comments and predictions that other people have made. But, we're all kind of anticipating this birth of Anna's baby,
we'll talk about it right now.
So there she is with Mary, and Mary's protecting her. No, you can't carry the case.
Right.
Keeping
her secret from Bates, still, of course.
Yes, because she wants to be very, very sure.
Yes.
And then Anna has this, event of pain. And so, that pall of Sybil's death and frickin' hospital that we keep talking about.
And I just love the way that Mary said it, how much better of a person than her sister was than she. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, had that not been there, would she have gone, let me take you to London? She might have just said, hey, somebody take her.
Sleep on it. Yeah. You'll be all right in the morning.
Who knows?
Right.
Who
knows? Right.
Hmm. I mean, seriously, because I was just thinking she might have said, I think she was nice. She would be nice enough to say, you should take it. I don't know that she would have joined her.
That night.
Right.
Yeah, that night. Yeah.
Right, that very night.
That very night, yeah.
Well, we talked about.
She pulled out all the stops and let's go.
Absolutely. And in last week's episode, they had the moment where it's like, boy, have we been through a lot together between Anna and Mary. So there is a certain obligation to on both of their parts to the other.
Sure.
But it's still, maid and lady.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lady and maid.
Yeah. Sometimes they clearly have no problem making that distinction.
Mm-hmm. At the right time.
Last week, Cora made that distinction. What are you
Cora
doing taking my course?
More than a distinction, but there.
But I seriously don't. I really was thinking, if she had not experienced that whole thing with Gwen and the remembrance of Sybil, would she have made those overtures to Anna that way, forcefully? I don't think so.
Right, maybe not. What do you think?
Because she had already committed to making sure that she was going to do it. I just feel like she would have done it maybe not as urgently. It would have been let's make sure we go back in the morning we'll head out to London. But dig it up in the middle of the night and
do the whole thing.
Last train in York, that was a lot of effort on her part.
Yeah, for sure. It was a bit of an extraordinary event. Mm-hmm. That I love how she was like, it's just something I'm going. And the way she can shut down people asking questions. I wish I could get away with that. I'm just doing something, okay?
She's prickly. I'm just going to go, and you don't have to say anything. But I do think that it starts to show us something that you were talking about last week that I was like, no way, with the sisters maybe eventually sort of coming together, this sort of remembrance of who Sybil was. And later in the episode, we get Mary actually complimenting Edith.
Yeah.
And sort
then
of
taking it right away.
And taking it away, which it came out of her mouth. Yeah, and it was seemingly sincere in the moment. And then to sort of see her recognizing herself is not as good as one of her sisters at some point. So maybe there is hope for Mary not to be a jerk for the rest of her life.
Can we please stop talking about Sybil? Because it's going to make me cry.
It was so great to hear all that, though.
She was
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was. That was so.
That was wrong
very
the way
dear.
She died, man.
It was. But God, that was good TV.
It was amazing. Mm-hmm. TV. She's a great character. And again, just in TV world, great way to kill her off.
Yeah. Exactly.
Amazing.
I mean, just. And it still gets you.
So interesting. Well, are we going to talk? Okay, do you mind if we go to hospital next?
Before we do that, let's finish up the storyline about Anna because she obviously goes. She has the surgery.
Oh, yeah, big
And apparently that surgery is no big deal.
It's just well, he said it was a stitch.
You're just closing up the cervix.
I know, but
cervix.
It's just like she's like.
But she does have to be on bed rest for a few days. Yeah. She can't serve Mary. How's Mary getting dressed for her dates?
I don't know.
Oh, good gracious, I don't know.
And she comes back, and of course Bates noticed. And Bates, prior to this, had noticed that she's getting sick.
And would you also remember last episode? There was something about her at the wedding and the reception.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, essentially, you're glowing, which is the word you know that is so often used. Yeah. So
Betty noticed that she was eating too much pie.
Yeah,
she eaten all the pie.
Yeah. But now he, you know, of course, she finally has to say something, or at least feels that she has to, because she's got some good news at least, and you know. But don't you think that's just setting up the?
I feel like it's gonna set up a big old fall. Yeah, because I just can't see how
it's
they're gonna
be
happy.
Fine. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about. It's gonna be just fine.
That stitch is gonna come out.
And I'm just wondering if Bates is gonna be run away with this news as much as Daisy ran away with her news.
Oh,
that
Lord.
Daisy. Oh my God.
Because,
Daisy.
You know, she just ran with it like crazy last
been
week.
Running.
And we were all going,
yeah.
Oh, stop it. Here it comes.
Mm-hmm.
She was loud and annoying with it this week.
Norma Rae. And it was nice.
She was putting curtains in the window. She was like ready to go. She was decorating and planting geraniums out in the window boxes.
And then when she, you know, and again, who's the bearer of the bad news? Thomas. Because, you know.
Because it's what he does.
Exactly.
He's the evil butler.
Yeah.
Actually.
I just thought it was hysterical, you know, because everybody, you know.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Don't, it's not settled. You know, trying to, you know, manage her expectations. Yep. She'll have none of it. She just wants it, you know, doesn't care. And she's already stepped in it twice with people. And then she's going to go. The shot of it with her going, that's it. I can't take the apron.
Keeping
goes
the apron
down
off.
Exactly. And she's going upstairs and they're all at the stairway. It was this wonderfully
like,
composed. Don't go.
Don't do it.
Go into the light.
No.
Yeah.
And so Baxter goes with her to hopefully like save her.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was to save her so much as or also to be
a buffer
between she and Cora. To protect Daisy, to protect Cora to some degree. I think that's my experience.
Yeah.
So, but of course, and then it was the ticking time bomb. Okay, is she going to get there before? And then we cut back to Cora, and you know. Lord Grantham, they're deciding, and Tom's there, and everybody's going, Yew Tree Farm. Yeah, okay, sure, we'll give it. And I'm going, oh, God, please.
Quick, don't bust in the door.
And I thought, was everybody expecting that? She's going to bust in just before it all gets done and ruin it.
Right, of course. She was going to be all, Norma Rae, you were saying.
Yeah.
Indignant.
And again, part of me was going, God, that would be, go ahead.
But I was sitting there like, don't do it. Yay. Okay. Thank God.
And even when they're in the hallway there, I'm going, just shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth for 10 more seconds, please. So that you can get this nice thing.
She got saved.
She did get saved.
She did.
Them coming out in the hallway.
Yes. Phew. Yeah. And he saves it all. And Cora was right. She did touch something.
I love that little aside at the end. Yeah, that was great. That was very good.
I'm just going, God, what would that have looked like? Because I think Daisy would have just gone off. She'd have gone crazy.
It's
right?
So ridiculous.
Well, you know, indignant the way she was at the auction.
Yeah.
You know,
and nobody can stop her. She didn't have
you know, and just interesting how she was so ambivalent about marrying Mr. Mason's son in the first place.
Absolutely.
And that was, again, talk about an incredibly touching scene. And do you remember? You don't remember the decorations around their bed. As they're getting married because he's on his deathbed. Of course you don't remember.
You don't remember it at all.
No.
I remember the scene. I just don't remember the decorations.
There were some decorations involved.
They decorated
for
everything. It was a big deal.
Okay. Yeah. That's nice that you guys remember. Thank you for remembering.
Anyway, she was so ambivalent about the marriage, and it has become, because of that relationship, sort of part of the focus of her life has changed.
Sure.
Yeah.
To protect Mr. Mason.
Well, there's a lot of guilt there. There's a lot of history there. And there's also,
true.
It's a complex relationship and a complex, you know, thought process behind all of what's going on with Daisy. Because she's growing as well and trying to figure out who she's going to be.
And if she's going to stay in service and the whole thing.
Yeah. But so juvenile.
Well, she is a fully mature girl.
Exactly. Yeah. And how would you not be, since she doesn't have the education?
Yeah. Never. Yeah, never gone to school.
Speaking of that.
That's why Quinn says girls need to go to school.
They do. Yes, they do.
They do.
But it did work out. Obviously, we got the nice shot of she and Mr. Mason at U-Tree. And the place looked pretty nice compared to the other place.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got somewhere to lay my bones.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about it. I'm going, and I'm sure he's already thinking that when I'm gone, I'm going to leave it to her.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Is that even an option?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Not leave it to her in terms of, because he doesn't own it, but maybe, you know, he would want to work it out such that if she wanted to,
she could be there.
Or something like that, yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure that's what he would want. So, but we got the nice shots and everything, so that was nice.
Well, thank God, Mr. Mason's finally settled.
That's settled. So now, what is Daisy going to do? She's only going to have her studies
that she wasn't paying attention to. Yes. So maybe we'll get back on that. Mm-hmm. And she's going to go to the school where Gwen thinks girls need an education.
That's right. Women's college.
All right, they're clever.
We have to talk about our hospital because it's a necessity each week. Now we have to continue the storyline. And this week we brought in more characters to participate in the never-ending saga of the hospital and whether or not it should be taken over by the county. And now we have Lady Shackleton being
drawn into business.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
Pissing off Violet.
Yeah.
Are you here to help?
Or irritate.
Here
to help or irritate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a very interesting discussion over tea.
Okay. One issue I have with watching a lot of British dramas, because I watch a lot of British dramas, is... I think there are only about 25 actors in England, and they all are in every show. Right.
They're the only ones that we see over here.
Well, yeah. Okay. That's it. And so the woman who played Lady Shackleton has been in five other shows and movies that I've seen. And so I'm watching it today. I'm going, Shackleton. Wait. Or yesterday. Lady Shackleton. Is that from this movie or that? Or is this... have we seen it? So... I was having that issue with her. Anyway, save me, John. Save me. Don't you recognize her though?
From other stuff. Yes, but you know.
Is she pasty face as well? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Stop it.
They all look the same. Oh my God.
So, but it was great to have her there. And then Rose Manley, who's there.
You're not supposed to drag me through the coals. You're supposed to lift me and Courtney out.
Let's flip you over in the coal for a minute.
But sometimes it's fun not to. So, so Rose Manley is there too. And, you know, she has her little tete-a-tete with Edith in the car and, you know, what they're going to say and how they're going to say it and all this other stuff. And I'm just still going. What are we doing spending so much time on this?
Courtney has something
to say. Please, Courtney.
They're getting educated.
No, what you said...
About education.
No, about the hospital. You were saying earlier, because we were saying, we're going to talk about the hospital some more, and you said...
Oh, I was repeating that. But there has to be a good payoff. Like, it's going to be great.
It was more like Courtney was like, there better be a damn fine payoff.
I was a little more aggressive earlier. But yeah, there should be. Because, I mean, this is what, episode 4, we were talking about the same thing. They brought in, a new person, but it's still the same. Back and forth with Violet being upset about it. She hasn't said anything new. People are still saying we want to educate ourselves on the whole issue before I make a stand or whatever. It's the same thing over and over again.
We're quite entertaining.
It's just bringing new people into it. So when Lord Grantham dies and there's no hospital there to save him, because who keeps having a pain after dinner every single night that's really sharp, that tumbles you over and you don't think, let me go to a doctor, he's gonna die.
that's gonna precipitate or
Violet
facilitate the need to have
to understand that the hospital is needed.
Could also be Violet having
they can't kill her like that. Violet will go real soft and easy one day. It's tragedy is going, because when he commented earlier in the episode, he said that Violet will use tears or terror with equal facility.
Yeah,
she's gonna be upset. It's gonna take her emotions to get her out of her own way.
Okay, so Robert James Collier, who plays Thomas, said in an interview months ago, before they had really finished filming, he goes, I can guarantee a wedding for this series and the odd funeral or two or nine when he caught himself. So I'm sure there's going to be a funeral, and we've got four candidates. We've got Anna, we've got Lord Grantham, we've got Violet, and we've got Thomas. all his possibilities. There's four right there. We could not even have to go to nine.
What you guys did every
oh no
every
I know
scene,
with
go,
me
oh,
she's gonna she's die, gonna die.
And right. Rosamund brought up Lord Grantham's funeral, and
you're right.
I didn't write down enough notes to know which scene it was, but it was towards the end of the episode, and yeah. she actually says something and
you're
talks
right.
about his funeral. So I was like, you're gonna die, totally gonna die. He's on the list now. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's just hope that whatever the resolution is to that storyline of the hospital, it'll be much more fulfilling and satisfying than the
probably
green
not,
one.
Because they're just going to get a hospital. So, like, whatever's surrounding it will probably be, mm-hmm. like, exciting. Well, not exciting. It's not exciting if he dies, but it'll be entertaining.
Well, and in keeping with the storyline, though, and bringing other characters into it, next week there was a coming up that include Denker and Dr. Clarkson, and I'm wondering if they're bringing her into this.
Right.
What?
And from what I read, it also involves Spratt.
Oh, wow.
Spratt is
okay.
involved
okay.
in that as well.
Oh, and maybe his nephew, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Mm. Okay, so, all right. However they're weaving, he's weaving this, I hope that it gets some
it'll work out. It's
interesting
work
conclusion.
Out.
All right. But we haven't, speaking of other characters, we haven't talked about Baxter yet to the degree. So, this was very interesting that Sergeant Willis is back and wants to speak to her, and of course she's not sure what it is. She thinks it has something to do with Bates, and of course mm-hmm. They're just so happy that it's not about them.
Like, thank God.
and as Bates says, we can joke about this.
Yeah, thank God we finally can.
Right. And I thought this was interesting because this goes right back to the whole reason why she's there and the whole thing that Thomas had on her to begin with. So we're just, that's a long, slow burn about that. And she's the most interesting point about this storyline for me in this episode was when she said it's changed her as a person.
Having gone through it.
Yeah. And yeah.
Which made it weirder to me that she was so opposed or uncomfortable with mm-hmm. confronting it and not wanting it to happen to somebody else, because
right.
she seems like she cares and wants good for
right.
people in
I
the
agree.
Same way that she wants it for Barrow. Like, come on, dude, like, stop being your own worst enemy.
Yeah.
But like, you would not want to help other girls not be, because mm-hmm. the whole argument with the constable was like, you don't want this to happen to other girls.
Right.
Like, it's not about you and it's not
yeah,
about
but
him anymore.
I thought it was played well, because if what happened to you hit you that hard that it changed you, just revisiting it might be so difficult and traumatic that you just don't want to, because there's so much you have to face and deal with that it would take a person a while to go, okay, fine, I'll go through that again, because you're right, I don't want that to happen to somebody else.
Right. Well, and the other thing is right now it's Thomas and Cora who are the only people who really know all of her background.
Well, yeah, and even that, I don't think we know all of the background. We just kind of know the things that have happened. We don't know the level of Machiavellianism. If that's
I was going to say entwinement.
Exactly. And how much.
How
he,
dark did it get?
Exactly. And, mm-hmm. and what he. Because we don't know who she was before. We only know who she is now. So that would be, again, talk about a trajectory of life. Who would she have been without this person being in her life?
Right. But the point I was making is that other people will now find out.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
And so that is a big consideration for back then, because
testifying in open court. Yeah. That's what's
and
on
she the, she did talk about not caring, how she does care about what other people think, and she doesn't want to be. Still, I was like, girl, just testify. Stop.
Yeah.
Like, why are we?
Well, she did get there, though. So, but the nice thing I have to acknowledge is it didn't take episodes for her to get there.
Oh, my God.
It was just in the one. Exactly.
Hopefully we get the trial, next episode, so we can get that wrapped up tight and nice.
I also like that Thomas finally admitted that he does care about what other people.
He didn't even have to. It's obvious.
I know, but he finally acknowledges. Because, let's face it, he says to Mosley, keep your pity. You need it more than I do.
Rude.
Yeah, exactly. But the surface, of course, is all that.
Yeah.
But it was nice for him to actually say something that was revealing in some fashion. I know. It's going to be tragic.
I can't anymore. It's not even tragic. That's what makes me sad. Because it was like he was kind of, you wanted him to try to fit in and find his place. And now I'm just like, you suck. I don't even care.
But I think they're going to bounce him around back and forth. So
they're
going to toy with us like crazy. So
they are.
Then the next episode, we're going to be going, well,
Maybe he did do something.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just going to keep bouncing him back and forth. So because that's a good way to string it out.
That'll be the measure.
Yeah.
If I bounce back with you next episode.
We will see.
Right now, I don't care if you live or die.
Oh my God.
I just want you to go away, because you're just that salty grossness.
Obnoxiousness.
Person.
Whoever we got a hold of.
Oh, as a person, by the way, just as your character.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, because we love him as a person.
As a person, you're amazing
evil,
and a great
as the
actor.
Evil butler on Twitter.
Yes.
And we saw the return of Carson. And
Mrs.
Carson.
Yay.
I thought the whole struggle was whether what are we going to call him? It's so weird. Even Mosley going, Mrs. Carson.
That's so awkward.
I'm going, why is that such an odd thing?
People do it every day.
I know, but apparently it's just really odd here.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, what, like 40 years?
I get, yeah. I mean, I get that part.
Well, God forbid the staff, or I mean, the family should have to learn something new about the staff.
Name. Yeah.
Well, they don't even recognize their faces. Why would they know their names?
It's true.
You said it. John said it. Yeah, you can tweet me and all, but John's the one who
they
said it.
They all look the same. And I didn't say it. I just repeated it.
I said it. I said that one.
But that was fun for them. That was nice to see them back, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The one back on Baxter, Mosley, when he convinced her,
yeah.
All that's needed for evil to triumph is for a good man to do nothing. Yes. I wanted to make sure we talked about that.
That was a great quote.
A quote from whom? I forgot who the... Is that, was it Churchill? Who said that? I can't remember who said it.
Probably.
Yeah. But that sounds right.
No, I'm sure we'll get like 25 tweets.
We will, because help me
out,
I didn't take time to research that. I'm sure we'll...
That's the truth, and it's touching.
Yeah.
Helps her rise up, which is the point of a comment like that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Rise up.
Move forward.
And we're happy for it.
Yeah.
I was talking about Carson. The little montage they did with Carson at the end there was just, just prepping us for how we're going to get ripped apart at the end of this. Because just you mentioned earlier, him taking the name out of his the little slot in his door was just, and the way he was touching the bed, and, he's realizing that this part of his life is over. And not that he's not looking forward to his life with Mrs. Hughes.
But
Mrs. Carson. But there's just that sense of honoring what is going to be no more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hence Downton.
Yeah.
Going to be no more.
And were you feeling that already, that little string being tugged?
Yes.
I'm not talking about
you don't
about
really it. Need to ask me, do you? I've already stated that.
And I mean, they stated almost every episode. Even Mary was like, I will not let Downton be one of the houses that falls apart, or whatever her comment was earlier in the episode. Yeah, girl.
You know,
it's going south.
A couple of our fans, one of the fans, who is this, Melissa, sent me an email and says, why do you think Downton's going to crash? Some of the estate survived. And she was saying the estate may become smaller and events occur on a smaller scale, but I don't see it crashing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you guys think that that is what's going to happen to Downton? Is it inevitable?
No, I think, because you could really play with fast and loose with reality and fiction, because you could eventually say that it becomes something in its later life. Mm-hmm. High Court Castle, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right.
But just dramatically speaking, if I'm there, I want to hit the gamut of emotion at the end of this. I think if I'm writing this or if I'm viewing this, I want to feel all those things. The whole reason for the series is...
Right, to reflect upon
the end of an era.
Yeah.
And to not come to that and to hold that out, I think it would be a mistake. It seems to be antithetical to why you started.
Agreed. But maybe the same effect can be had, even if it doesn't crash completely and they have to like sell everything, but like they have to sell most of it and maybe they can only keep a portion of it, and watching all of the servants sort of have to leave and the idea that none of that exists anymore.
That's the thing. You can't sell your property. You couldn't sell your property back then. I can't remember if it's changed or not, but that's one of the reasons why these giant estates are such a big problem, and it's called... again, tweet me if you want. I can't remember the name of the edict. But you are prohibited from selling your family land. That's why they have all these leases. Mm-hmm. Because that was one way to create income. But you can't sell off the land.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that...
progenitor or something.
I'm not suggesting that it's going to get burned to the ground or sold lock, stock, and barrel or anything like that. But what we knew as Downton Abbey will not be there.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I think by its downfall, so to speak.
Right.
I just mean the era of it, the pomp
mystique.
Of it, all that kind of stuff. The drama of it, all that's going to be no more.
Right. Right.
So.
Right, and it's changing within the people as
well. Exactly. You just can't.
Hey, we're only halfway through.
Survive.
We're only halfway through.
Halfway through of this year.
This season.
Gotcha. <Yeah. laughs> We haven't talked at all about Mary and Henry. Yes. So right. Ladies, what do we think?
Thank goodness.
Lady Shackleton's mystery nephew shows up.
Yeah.
The race quad.
I forgot that he was. I didn't know. Was that explained when we first met him? I don't remember that if it was, but I forgot.
And she rolled up like, oh, that's your car. And they were like, oh, cute. And then he disappeared. Mm-hmm.
So, here it comes. There's probably the tweet telling us.
Okay, so, but we're happy with this. You like this?
I think he's cute.
Thank God. Okay, because every other suitor she has had since Matthew has been not okay. This one, we love you.
Gillingham, I mean, you know.
Gillingham, no.
Liked him for whatever at some time. But
for comedy purposes? Comedy.
They had a tryst. That was nice.
Which was gross.
Yeah, but I think he's... more her match, this guy.
Yes.
Henry Talbot is more her match.
Very evident in the scene, too, in the when they're sharing their dinner.
She's
together.
Like, I'm sorry, I look so shabby. He's like, you could never look shabby, girl.
Yeah. Hello.
I just love that she had to announce that I didn't bring my clothes. I had to borrow something from my aunt.
Stress.
That's why it doesn't fit me just perfectly.
That old thing.
Was that... At some point during this episode, she was wearing this gold sequin thing.
I'm so glad you brought
that
up.
Thank you.
Both of those, but even Edith, and both of them at that dinner. She had the gold on with the nice little skinny gold headband, and then Edith had the green.
Yes.
And then she had like a latticed headband or whatever. I was like, go costumers. Everybody looked vibrant and beautiful. And I love that Edith is a part of that too.
Yes.
We have to give shout outs to the
costumes. I'm glad that you did. I appreciate
that.
I'm just being silent while you guys are enjoying that.
It was so good.
We did enjoy it a lot.
Very good, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to talk about the car.
Okay, great.
So, Henry's car.
Whatever. Karshmar.
They're ugly.
But I love the dinner. I hope they really...
He's going to die too, by the way.
No.
But they can't do it again.
They're not going to do it again. She's going to have difficulty with him being the whole car enthusiast and everything because of the car accident.
Well, maybe she's going to die in the car.
Oh my God. You're getting to be like me. I'm rubbing off on you, Courtney.
I just feel like something tragic's going to happen with the cars. Because they're making such a big deal about, oh, it's so interesting that that's weird and dangerous and what's going on with the cars? And then, Thomas talked about working on the cars. What if Thomas dies?
Oh, my God.
Thomas or Tom?
Tom. Sorry, Tom. Or
you are watching the inner workings of
Branson,
Courtney's mind.
I don't know. But the car thing is so elevated.
I don't think they're going to do anything with it only because we've already had Matthew.
We've already
in a
hit
car
that.
Accident,
hit
so
that
I don't think he's going to ring that bell again.
Yeah.
I think they're going to use it because Mary is going to be very concerned about it. She's already had her husband die in a car accident. So she's not going to be too thrilled about somebody who she cares about. You know, driving
those newfangled things,
but that's going to be a point of drama and conflict. And I think that, and why not use it? But I also think that we could see her actually, you know, be in those cars and feeling that, and that could be an interesting way to open her up to a whole new thing as well. But I don't think it's going to be a tragedy. What's that?
Maybe she just gets injured, and that's also why the hospital is needed.
Okay,
we don't have a lot of happy predictions here, do we?
Not from this side of the table. This is where we have death and mayhem over here.
Yes.
That's the
I'm death,
that
she's
go.
Mayhem.
We're like, whoa, what? No, he ran over little George. You didn't see him.
No, God,
like,
don't say that.
No, something bad is
Erase
coming.
Erase that. That
it's
is
coming.
Bad. Don't say it.
Okay, I'm done.
All right. Good. And speaking of done, do we have anything else we haven't covered or should we move on?
I'm ready to talk about news.
All right, let's get to our news, and we'll get to our gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Joanne Froggatt has wrapped shooting miniseries, a two-part drama called Dark Angel, where she portrays Victorian serial killer Mary Ann Cotton.
Whoa.
She's a serial killer?
Yes! The show looks amazing and dark, and I do love a good serial killer mystery.
Yes.
Of course you do.
Some people
Who
know
doesn't?
About me. It's scheduled to air in 2016, and we do hope it comes here to the U.S. as well. Mm-hmm. BBC America.
Well, that'll be a nice stretch for her.
Us,
yeah, very interesting. Sherlock star Martin Freeman is joining forces with Hugh Bonneville, Lord Grantham, to lead the cast in the latest festive adaptation of a Julia Donaldson book. Okay. They are voicing characters to the animated Stickman, which is a set for Christmas Day in the UK. Same day as the Christmas finale here. So we'll start the day with something sweet and end the day with like devastating tears. Hugh Bonneville is going to play Santa. And there's it looks very cute. Just quick mention, you might want to take a look at the official Downton Abbey Instagram account, and you might as well if you don't follow them already. It's very pretty. It's Downton Abbey _ official. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty, and they give us countdowns, which is very fun. There's a fun radio interview with Jim Carter, who plays Mr. Carson, on absoluteradio.co.uk. I've tweeted out the link. It was done about a week ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just fun, and, you know, Mr. Carson talking about his stuff, and I enjoyed it. Hugh Bonneville is also not letting any grass grow under his feet other places, because he is narrating a new animated film, Sophia the First, The Secret Library, which airs today in the U.S.
Okay.
So very few people are going to know this, because this is the UK Downton Abbey.
Well, but anyway, I know Sophia the First, and I love it.
And it's on the Disney Channel and Disney Junior. Okay, and then also, despite the fact that Downton failed to receive any of the bigger Emmy Awards this year, the series will receive a special award at this year's International Emmys.
Whoa, okay. Mm.
The Television Academy will present the 2015 International Emmy Founders Award to Julian Fellows. And the award is given to individuals whose creative accomplishments have contributed in some way to the quality of global television production. So I think he definitely deserves it. The very first International Emmys Founders Award was given in 1980 to the late Jim Henson, who created the Muppets. And that ceremony for the awards is November 23rd in New York City. Okie dokie. I have a whole mess of shout outs and comments. okay, so thank you and shout outs to Alex, to Kathy Ressler, to Caroline from London. Thank you guys very much. Catherine Smith, Sylvana Dill, Poetic Justice, Ms. Las Makita, Charles Testrake, who we have talked about in past seasons, from Twitter, my pal Anna and the other Anna, Grumbling Appendix on Twitter, Karen Loss. Okay, so predictions about the hospital are that Robert will get ill or die, and that will cement the modernization of the hospital. Anna dies. Anna doesn't die. Violet dies. Carson dies after Mary throws a brick at him to see if he indeed will forgive her. And those are not all just mine. Prediction that Thomas will move to London, find a job, and live his life. Also, there was the one we just got as we were coming on the air about Thomas will meet Ernest Hemingway in Paris, become his butler, and move to Key West.
That was fantastic.
Caroline, I hope you're enjoying your Nespresso coffee.
Oh, my goodness.
Talking about last week's news with the program or order of service that was found in a church, that story has been picked up a couple of places. It was in the Mirror now this week, and apparently there was a script left behind as well that a tour guide picked up. So it's looking more like either that story is really just going crazy and it's still totally fake, or that it's real. So how's that for a prediction?
It could be real.
That's our crack staff reporting.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Funny things about Edith. We have that Edith's going to be at the altar, ready to marry Bertie. And like the wedding program says, then Gregson appears and screams, "Edith!" And they run off together. Also, there was another one where it was said Gregson returns home alive. It turns out he's had amnesia this whole time. Or maybe he just escaped from a Nazi prison. Or maybe he just became a Nazi. Or, does it really matter? For the sake of the plot, he's back. From Charles Destrake. So,
that's great.
Hilarious predictions. Also one that Lord Grantham may become an invalid. He just may be incapapacitated.
Oh, interesting. I didn't think of that.
My notes are now all mixed up, but someone said that Julian Fellows needs to listen to us. To us. Catherine Smith said, "I like to think Uncle Julian watches the show and feels suitably told off when John, Tamara, or Courtney aren't impressed with something that he's written." Mwah! We love you.
He's done with feeling.
He is done.
With great respect, by the way.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And appreciation.
Absolutely. Poetic Justice 1000 says, "I hope and don't think that Julian Fellows would dare implement a suicide in Downton's last series." And he or she also says that he wouldn't possibly dare to do it in the Christmas episode. And I agree.
I agree.
The Christmas episode is going to be amazing and heartfelt, maybe poignant, but I don't think there's going to be a Matthew-like tragedy.
No, I don't think it'll be happening. No, it wouldn't. I agree. I don't think he would do it in the Christmas episode.
And just one final note here. Ms. Lost Nikita says, stopping to call Edith, poor Edith. Don't get crazy now. She still has Mary as her sister and Robert as her father. She's stuck with that name as long as they are around. Poor Edith.
All right,
lives.
Well, we are properly chatted. We will continue
Poor Edith. thank you guys so much for all the comments. They're so entertaining. Oh, here was a prediction about how Thomas dies, that he will fall through the rotten floor at a decrepit pile while attending a new interview.
Just as likely.
That's fine.
All week long, I laugh at the comments and predictions. And by the way, two things. You know, when... sorry, my throat just caught. You don't have to join Twitter to read Twitter.
Okay.
True. So, you know, because a couple people had written me emails saying that they were intimidated by Twitter or that they don't or that they don't, you know, understand it. And you can still read Twitter and read Instagram, I think, even too, without being a member, and you don't have to have an account and all that kind of stuff. So,
okay. How do you do it then?
You just go online.
You just go to Twitter.com and look at things.
Look at stuff.
Yeah.
You search what?
Well, Instagram, you'd have to, like, know the person's screen name or whatever. And you just, like, Instagram.com/Stuart Starlet, and you get my page.
Yeah, but you can also, they're also just, you know, search windows on Twitter. And you can search Downton Abbey.
Yes.
You can search, you know, AfterBuzz. Would be a great way to find things.
You guys aren't catching my drift.
You
kind of got it. There you go. Where would they search? How would they search?
How do you search?
At Tamara Berg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. Thank you to those of you who shouted out about my website. It was very sweet. Thank you very much. That's all I'm going to say.
And again,
I'm Twitter, Instagram, @StuartStarlet.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my gosh, you guys. I can't wait till next week.
I'm exhausted.
Going to be fun. I am, too.
Looking forward to next week. Looking forward to more interesting comments.
More comments.
This is such a wonderful community that you guys have created. Not us. You guys have created it. Thank you.
And sometimes they're just as... even more entertaining than what we witnessed. So keep them coming. We certainly do appreciate that. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Thanks again.
Thank you, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, and thank you, Kathy.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.